College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Go ahead and use it or hit me up on X on Twitter at L Rubenson, and I will read off comments, questions there as well. Behind the glass, keep me company. Nico Skorlatos, he's producing tonight. He's working the phones, taking your calls. Justin Rock on the updates. I will be with you until 1 a.m. Let's get this started. All right, here's what we have going. Your topics for tonight. Three of them. The Subway Series. Two angles. From the Mets' perspective, from the Yankees' perspective. A week ago, I sat in this chair and we were talking about Panicville and who are the residents of Panicville. At that point, it was the New York Mets coming off of that absolutely horrific series against the Pirates. The Mets feel like they have righted things with some optimism and hope in sight for the Yankees. Yankee fans, they won today. That ends the six-game losing streak. Do you feel like the Yankees are no longer in Panicville? It's one win. There are positives, and we can take those away. And there are still reasons to be concerned. Chief among them, of course, the bad news on Clark Schmidt and what that does to the Yankees' starting rotation. All right, so we're going to look at this Yankees-Mets Subway Series. And then the other topic, the Knicks. When I was on the air last weekend, no coach. There's a coach. There's a coach and there's free agents. So we're going to talk about all of that. I have guests for you coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Max Goodman from The Record going to join me on the Yankees at about 10:30. And Joe DiMeo from SNY and Mets Pod, he's going to join me on the Mets. That's coming up at about 11:20. We'll talk about the trade deadline is coming up, and certainly it is becoming more and more clear what both these teams, Mets, Yankees, and everybody needs. Joe, of course, an expert on prospects, so we're diving into that as we start to look ahead at the trade deadline. And then some fun for you coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, 12:20. CP the Franchise, creator of Knicks Fan TV. I don't know if you saw all the fun antics goings on, the tournament, Knicks Twitter, all of that this weekend. So we'll talk about the new coach, free agency, and Knicks Twitter and the tournament this weekend. All right, that's giving you the big picture. Storylines for you. You heard the All-Stars were announced today. Juan Soto, not voted an All-Star by the players. This round is the players voting. And no Soto. That's dumb. And they should be happy for the guy who raised the salary bar. But some jealousy going on there. Look at the numbers. No Soto. We'll talk about that. Pete Alonso, not in the home run derby. Good news. You like it, you don't like it, Mets fans. Jazz Chisholm is an All-Star, but apparently still not a second baseman for the New York Yankees. And now Jazz, a little bit didn't play on Sunday after hitting a home run on Saturday. The Yankees in a, I'll just say it, today was a must-win game for the Yankees. And you can tell me nothing is a must-win game until you're in, what, either going to be mathematically eliminated from the regular season or it's game seven of the, you know, the World Series of the postseason, of all that. You can tell me nothing is ever must win. I will tell you today, today is must-win for the Yankees for a number of reasons. First is, not just me, but everybody with a microphone would have obliterated the New York Yankees had they lost today to the New York Mets, gotten swept, and when you came into this series with the pitching and the pitching matchups, the starters, all, the way this looked, and to say the Mets won 2 out of 3 is surprising anyway. But had they won today with a Cy Young candidate in Max Fried on the mound starting for the Yankees, their stopper. After today, the Yankees are 9-1. 9-1, Max Fried. That's his record after a Yankee loss. So he's the stopper and a Cy Young candidate. And the Mets today, everything was a three-letter word. That's who pitched today, except for Brazoban. We'll pull him aside. But all the rest of them today, everything was about the three letters. Those letters are TBD. That's who's starting today for the Mets. TBD, to be determined. We have no idea. We're just going to figure it out. Those are three letters. Another three letters. Triple A. Those are three letters. Triple A. That's where a lot of these pitchers belonged, have been, and will be going back to. Triple A pitchers. And the third three-letter combination, DFA. Designated for assignment. DFA, as in cut. Hasta la vista. Bye-bye. DFA. As in where this guy named Pop is going to be if he's not already, who pitched today for the New York Mets. So that's who pitched today for the New York Mets. The three-letter guys. The TBDs. Against Cy Young. The stopper. The ace of the New York Yankees. One of the best pitchers in the American League this season. And had the Yankees, after a 6-game losing streak and a horrific, horrific last 3 weeks, had the Yankees lost today to the Mets? What do we make of this team? And if you're Brian Cashman, how do you even look at the trade deadline? What do you make of your team as it is? What do you think about that? Now, the Yankees won. They hung on. And in a kind of fascinating turn of events, for a Yankee team that got mocked by the Dodgers for defense or lack of defense in the World Series, for a Yankee team that we've been all beating up on for poor defense for a lot of this season, and frankly for this series, this weekend, where they often look like they're playing guys out of position or they're just the bad news bears, lack of fundamentals, lack of accountability defensively. And today, there were a number of terrific defensive plays, most notably by Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt. Those were the two guys. And in particular, that play by Bellinger.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the play of the game. Aaron Boone calling it the play of the year so far. And he's right. Because it was a must-win game, and that was the game-saving play. A double play catch made by Bellinger playing left field. And I'll say this. I'll admit when I was wrong about something. I still think that I thought Jason Dominguez should have been in the lineup, should have been leading off today. But if he was in the lineup and he was playing his usual left field, let's just be honest, he doesn't make that play. And the reason he doesn't make that play is there was a, according to the statistics, analytics websites out there, there was a 10% catch probability on that play that Cody Bellinger made. Meaning 90% of the time, that play, that catch, does not get made. It was shoestring. It was grass, I don't know, grass cutting. He barely makes it because he makes a just fantastic read to close on a line drive hit by Juan Soto that is dropping there and looks like Francisco Lindor is already on first base, and it looks like the Mets, that ball is going to bounce, of course, that's what you think, bounce into his mitt, get trapped, that's what you think, and the Mets are going to have runners on first and second with Alonso up and with the Yankees at that point starting to hemorrhage. And Max Fried already out of the game. The Mets getting into the Yankee bullpen. Nerves frayed. And then Bellinger, who is a Gold Glove caliber defender, it seems no matter where you play him. But certainly, I can't think of too many left fielders in baseball who make that play. 10% catch probability. But then the remarkable thing is that generally speaking, left fielders tend not to have the strongest arms. It's why I usually play them in left field. That throw to home plate is not going to be as far as the throw from right field. So there aren't too many left fielders who would have the instincts and ability to make that play and then come up firing and throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball from left field to first base to catch Lindor and double him off. Should have been a better job by Mets first base coach, Antoine Richardson, who usually does a fantastic job. Was not as emphatic as he should have been telling Lindor, get back and slide. But still, it doesn't take away from what was a just phenomenal play by Cody Bellinger. And I would say a season saving, or certainly the series sweep saving. I can't say the whole season would have gone to hell if the Yankees lost today, but it wouldn't have been good. 7-game losing streak they would have been on still. Instead of 3 back of the Blue Jays, they'd be 4 back of the Blue Jays heading into an off day. Aaron Boone said winning and going into that off day, now it's good for the soul. Well, they would have been doing soul searching had they lost on Sunday. Incredible play by Bellinger. It kind of had me thinking about, what are they going to do about him next year? He'll opt out of his deal. He'll become a free agent. He has a player option. He'll become a free agent. And do they bring him back? You figure they're going to move on from Goldschmidt, who's, you know, old. And you could play Bellinger at first base. It doesn't prevent you from going after Kyle Tucker if the Yankees would spend the way I think they should in this market. But fantastic game-saving play by Cody Bellinger, defensive play today. And then Paul Goldschmidt, fantastic defense. So for all the bad defense by the Yankees, it was Bellinger and the Goldschmidt with a great couple of double plays. Well, he's involved in 3 of them. He was on the receiving end of the double play throw from Bellinger, but then also He saves DJ LeMahieu, who made an awful throw trying to turn a double play, spikes it and gives him a terrible hop, and somehow Goldschmidt hangs on to it. So that was huge. And then catches an absolute shot off the bat of one hopper off the bat of Brett Beatty, and Mauricio was not sure what to do, caught standing there, and unassisted double play there by Goldschmidt. So really good defense by Paul Goldschmidt, phenomenal defense by Cody Bellinger, and that was the difference in many ways in what should have been a massive mismatch. Now, we'll flip it to the Mets, and I think Mets fans, a week ago I sat here and I told you, I actually went to Pittsburgh, had never seen that ballpark, was there with family, and it's a gorgeous ballpark, had a great time being there, but obviously watched one of those games where the Mets were just dreadful, non-competitive, flat, awful. And then they come back to New York, and with all the injuries, and I kept thinking to myself for the last few weeks and until the All-Star break, I was thinking the Mets have to somehow tread water and not be so far back of the Phillies at the All-Star break, because I thought right after the break is when they would get back Kodai Senga and Sean Manaea. Now, it's not written in stone. Everybody still has to feel good, but it would seem that Senga and Manaea, there's a good chance, will both pitch in that last series before the All-Star break. So instead of the Mets having to get through these last, you know, including the Yankees series, I was looking at 9 games and being like, oh my God, how are they going to stitch this thing together? And even going back to the Brewers series, it was just like, oh my God, how are the Mets? It's 12 games before the All-Star break. Like, how are they going to do this? And here we are now, 6 games, and they may get Senga and Manaea back, and suddenly you feel differently. And also Frankie Montas. Let's say this. The numbers won't look fantastic, but I thought he pitched pretty well against the Yankees. I thought he got unlucky in the last inning, gave up a couple of runs there on things that were, you know, more bloops, seeing eye type of stuff. But Montas seemed to be, it was only his third start off the injured list, but he looks like if he's going to be your number 5 starter, I think you feel okay. And if you have Senga 1, Manaea 2, Peterson 3, Clay Holmes 4, and Frankie Montas 5, that feels very different than DFA, AAA, TBD starting today. That's what the Mets have been dealing with. And that's different than Paul Blackburn. That's different than where they've been scratching, you know, Hagenman and trying to piece it together, and different than all of that. That would be shades of what the Mets were doing in the beginning of the season, where the starting rotation and the strength of that, if you can get a good start every day, then you have a chance to win, obviously. And we've been waiting for the Mets' offense to carry this team. That's what we thought at the beginning of the season. We thought the starting rotation would be the weakness. But if they can get 5 good starters and a credible, good, well-pitched, well-pitched game out of a starter every game, 5 in a row, game after game, coming out of that All-Star break, and maybe even now going into it with that last series, if they can get that, it has such an impact on a team where obviously it has that positive impact on the bullpen, which doesn't get taxed as much, but also on the hitters. Early in the year, when the Mets were winning, if hitters don't feel like they have to score a million runs because they're at a deficit with the starting pitching, they're always in a hole, they're always playing from behind, when you have better starting pitching, it just makes it makes an impact on the entire team. And so I always thought the Mets had to get through the All-Star break, get Manaea and Senga back, and then we could see what do the Mets have and what are the glaring needs for this team at the trade deadline. And of course, like every team, Mets, Yankees, everybody needs bullpen help. Everybody always needs bullpen help. Mets do. They'll get Brooks Raley at some point, and that'll be a help. But if you're a Mets fan coming off of last weekend in Pittsburgh and now looking at this week heading into the All-Star game, and suddenly you've got Lindor, who had been scuffling with the broken toe and all of that, he's perking up offensively. He even stole a base for the first time in weeks this weekend. You have Lindor perking up. You have Soto being Soto, to me, playing like an all-star, hitting like a certainly top 10 hitter in all of baseball type of player. So Soto, obviously, incredibly hot in June. And when you think about that game on Friday, the Yankees leap to an early lead. They're up 2-0. They give up the Mets give up a couple of early home runs. And what happens? Juan Soto turns around and hits a 2-run home run and puts the Mets right back in it. And then the other, so that's Lindor, Soto, Pete Alonso back to, had slumped a little bit, back hitting home runs, hitting multiple home runs, closing in on Darryl Strawberry for the all-time team lead. Brandon Nimmo playing as well as he has in years. Started the season slowly, but has come on in the last, 6 weeks probably. Has just been fantastic. And the grand slams, of course, are helpful. Just a huge, huge play in game two. The Nimmo grand slam gets the Mets off to a lead in what eventually became, I'm not going to say it's a laugher, but it really was a game it felt the Mets won going away on Saturday, won convincingly. And Jeff McNeil, not going to be an all-star, but also playing incredibly well offensively, defensively, just the versatility, all of that. Those are five hitters for the Mets that I think Mets fans should feel really good about can be the foundation of a strong offense, a really strong, top-notch offense. And then the question becomes, what do you do about the other four spots? Now, Jesse Winker coming back off the injured list at that DH spot, I think being part of a platoon, I think you can feel pretty good about that. Marte had been hitting really well, his knee bothering him in the game today. Was that partially because he played the outfield for the first time in a while? And maybe at this age, that's too much for him with his balky knees. But hoping we'll find out, is he going to be on the injured list just as Winker comes off of it? But if the Mets can have a Winker, Marte, DH platoon, then those are six spots in the lineup I think you feel pretty good about. And then if you're the Mets, you look at it and say, as you head into the trade deadline, you have to figure out in the next few weeks what to make of these young players. Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos, Ronnie Mauricio. Can any one of the three step up and just claim a spot every day, batting order, have to be playing? Can one of them do that? I think you give the edge to Beatty and Mauricio defensively at third base. I don't like either of them that much at second. A little more Beatty probably than Mauricio, but based on the size. But although they're kind of similar probably in size. But but at third base, I think they're both terrific. And in particular, Beatty's defense seems to be getting better and better at third base. Can any one of those three players, though, grab a spot similar to what Mark Vientos did last year offensively? Because that would lengthen this Mets lineup. If that happens, then you're in a different position at the trade deadline. If nobody grabs a spot, then you're probably a bat short. And the Mets have to trade for a bat. Certainly have to trade for bullpen help. And have to see, do they need pitching depth? Or with Senga and Minaya coming off of IL, with whether it's Brandon Sproat, Nolan McLean, the young players, can they have enough depth, or do they need more pitching? That's what we'll learn over the next few weeks. But meanwhile, for one weekend, if I had said to you Mets fans coming into this weekend where, yes, the Mets had Frankie Montas going against Marcus Stroman one day, Montas making his third start of the season, felt like he had been tipping his pitches when he got rocked by the Pittsburgh Pirates, and only his third start of the season. If I said to you, that's what you have, and other than that, you basically have a whole bunch of the TBD type of guys, Hagenman and, Waddell and all these other guys, like you're piecing it together without starting pitching, essentially, in two out of the three games. And if I had said to you the Mets would win this series, and even in that third game facing Max Fried, they'd actually be down 5-0 and come back and have a chance, make it competitive. If I had said to that, you sign up for that every day of the week and feel great about it.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.